Hello and welcome back. You're watching the Tip TV Mining Show in association with Blythway and Beredolbear. I'm Beth Payne, and once again, I'm very delighted to welcome back my new and improved co-host, John Mayer of SP Angel.
Thank you.
Later on in the show today, John and I are going to be speaking to a company who have had some very positive Q3 results lately. But first of all, let's have a look at what's been going on in the world of mining this week. If we turn to the first slide, we can see that it's been a great week for palladium. Can you tell us what else is going on here, John?
Well, it's been an extraordinary week because Donald Trump won the US election, and that really dominated everything, and we had a sort of cascade effect. It wasn't the only thing going on, though. Whilst Donald Trump was helping to lift the gold price with uncertainty about what's going to happen, people not being sure what his policies really were in many cases, what we saw was the market then formed a view that the Federal Reserve might in fact look to raise interest rates in order to draw in funds to fund Donald Trump's new construction ideas, new infrastructure spending, that sort of thing. While all that was going on, what a lot of people struggled to see, and in fact caught the market by surprise, was the Indian government quietly said that they might look to cut or restrict gold imports, gold purchases into India. Now that had a massive impact on the market. So what happened here was the gold price, having gone up after Trump, then collapsed. And in fact, it was a very steep fall. These charts are rebased to 100 at the beginning, from a week ago. So whilst palladium carried on going up, gold and all the others fell, and that really was the dominant impact. Next slide, please. So if we go back and look at this in context over the year to date, we see that although silver is still one of the better performers, palladium has actually caught up and overtaken on a relative basis, and gold prices suffered a pretty serious setback. Although I think that's something for them to build on. The Indian government tends to start to restrict gold purchases when they start to have balance of payments deficit issues, and so it may be that doesn't actually happen. We had the issue with the Indian government restricting or withdrawing large denominated notes within their currency, and people rushing out and converting some of those into gold. That has all turned around, and I think the problem was gold was being imported too quickly, causing problems with the currency, with the Indian government, and they said, right, we're going to stop this, and bang, the gold price comes back. I think that's something we will recover from, because I think that's a very temporary and artificial phenomenon. Next slide, please. So we go on to the base metals and steel and iron ore. You can see that iron ore is still a great performer up there. We're looking at iron ore futures, which are really led by the Chinese markets at the moment. Again, those futures prices came off artificially because the Chinese government said we're going to increase margins for holding futures, and we're going to increase the cost of buying those futures as well. Mm-hmm. So that caused the prices. It just took a bit of froth out of the market. It doesn't impact what's really going on, the fact that the Chinese are making more steel and using more steel, that Asian markets are consuming more steel as well. And now we expect the US market, led by Donald Trump, to be buying more steel as well, and in fact producing more steel. So not only are the Chinese consuming more and more iron ore, but I think the Americans will as well. And that's going to create a very interesting dynamic for the market.
Absolutely.
If we look at that in a longer term context, we can see that iron ore is good up there. Okay, it's a bit of a pullback, but that's really what's leading the market. But let's not forget that when Donald Trump came in, the copper price ran. My personal feeling is that someone was holding copper prices back. It had lagged everything else in the sector. Okay, there was a bit of new production coming in out of Peru and Indonesia, and maybe that had dampened enthusiasm there. But copper just took off. It put 20% on the week, and it is not far off there now.
And do you think this will be a continued good run for copper?
I think copper is likely to hold on to a lot of those gains. It did step back as traders took profits, but I think this is something the price can build on, and I don't think it's going to collapse back to where it was. Next slide, please. If we look at ilmenite, which is a metal that people don't look at very often, also a commodity, ilmenite feeds into titanium. Titanium is a very important commodity for global growth. So as GDP growth gets going, then ilmenite prices should catch up. And there's always a bit of a lag here. The interesting thing about ilmenite is a lot of it was coming out of what's called titanomagnetite. Or should we say, titanium was coming out of titanomagnetite. Mm-hmm. Because of the high cost of coking coal And because of competition from better quality iron ore, nobody much is using titanomagnetite anymore. So it's completely cut this source of supply out of the market. This is allowing ilmenite, from which most of the world's titanium comes from, those ilmenite prices are now rising again. And this is something really to watch. And there are a few companies that are doing this. Iluka, Kenmare Resources, Sierra Rutile, and one or two others. So that's just worth mentioning for now. We might come back to that another week.
Excellent.
Next chart. We look at, go on to the leaders and laggards. Hochschild, very good performer. Anglo-American doing well there. And in fact, I think really Anglos have been bought up by some South African groups. Mm-hmm. It had been oversold. There were stories back last year of it going bust. It wasn't going there, but they've been offloading assets, improving their portfolio. In fact, they decided a week ago not to sell their coking coal assets. Well, no surprise there, because they're making a lot of money out of it. So good there. Glencore, a favourite of mine, not too far behind. Worth noticing that BHP have lagged because they're exposed to oil and gas, really.
Yeah.
And they don't have as much iron ore as Rio Tinto. So we'll talk a bit more about Rio's. Rio's not doing quite as well as BHP there, but in fact, for me, I think it's the better stock in this environment. Antofagasta, really benefiting on the back of higher copper prices, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
Next slide. If we do that on a week today, we had a bit of a pullback in the miners during the week. And so you can see, in fact, there were some quite big falls. I think a bit unfair, and we're seeing those stocks recovering today, which isn't reflected in this chart. But it was just a bit, it was a react, global markets reacted to Donald Trump coming in.
Yeah.
And there were some winners and losers in that. And I think actually the miners should be winners on the back of that, because if Trump rebuilds America, all that construction has got to be good for the materials
Absolutely.
Industry. Next slide, please. On the AIM Basic Resources Index, the smaller AIM stocks, Solgold is the standout performer. It's done tremendously well. It had a tentative offer from BHP mm-hmm. to invest in their asset in Ecuador. It's a copper porphyry project, so it's all about copper. But in fact, Newcrest won the right to put money in. They put $22 million into the business, and that was good. So they now have a big drilling program ahead of themselves. If we look further down there, Anglo-Asian doing well. ASA Resources, which is gold and nickel in Zimbabwe, doing well. Landor, interestingly, doing quite well. They've got iron ore in Canada. And European Metal Holdings, lithium in Czechoslovakia. So it's an interesting bag of metals there. If we look at the laggards, a few companies that have fallen out of favour, but we'll talk about Diamond Core a bit later, so we'll move on for now. Again, the winners, interesting to see Zenago, which we'd forgotten about for a while.
Absolutely.
Backed by Glencore. I mean, they're an iron ore business, a project in Gabon, and they are highly sensitive to the price of iron ore.
It's been a while since I've heard that name, actually, so it's good to see them back up.
Well, for quite a while, everybody assumed that none of these junior iron ore companies would go anywhere for years. We even see West African Minerals, which has iron ore projects in the Cameroon, also coming up there. And so these companies are natural gainers. Amur Minerals, which has a nickel project in Russia, doing well. Anglo-Asian, which is gold in Azerbaijan. Horizonte, which is nickel in Brazil, also doing quite well. And a bit more going on with those guys. They raised some money in the week. So interesting to see those guys leading the board. If we look at what's not doing so well there, a bit of a mixed bag, mainly gold projects that are still working their way through. And it's always worth looking at what's fallen out of favour, because there are some stocks there that I think will do better going forwards. Next slide, please. So if we go back onto Rio Tinto, with iron ore prices so high, I know we see the futures prices come back a bit, but the fact is, with iron ore prices, anything over $40 is brilliant for these guys. I mean, they make huge margins. So we've got iron ore, depending on which price you look at, $65, $70 a ton. Extraordinary profits to come out of that division. Let's not forget they're a big copper producer as well, with copper jumping up 20%. So really, I mean, one should be buying Rio's on the back of what we see. Never mind a two-day pullback in prices. These guys are making huge amounts of cash flow off these businesses. Next slide. Anto's, it's all about copper. They are a quality copper stock. They've had a few issues and fallen out of favour with the market in general. But actually, with copper prices rising, you can't ignore it. It will do very well. Next one. Georgian Mining. We raised some money for this in the week. The share price has had a horrible time, actually. It's not done well, mainly because they said they were going to go in production in August.
Yep.
They didn't do that. They had a good reason for not doing it. They every time they put more drilling into the ground, they found more copper, more gold. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, we've got to think about this for a bit longer, and we need to make a bit more of a plan. So the project is getting bigger. It should have the lowest capital costs in the world, because the joint venture partner already has spare capacity in the plant. They only have to dig up the stuff and truck it, so they can use a contractor for that. So there's very little capital cost for them to start mining, almost nothing. They raised 2.6 million, they're ready to go. They'll start production probably Q3, Q4 next year, maybe Q4. Full production Q1 2018. Not many companies can go into production that quickly, so I think these guys will do really well going forwards. Next slide. Diamond Core, possibly the unluckiest company in the world.
Not
they had a fire. They've had two floods. They had a terrible flood, a rainfall event in the area. People were killed, things were washed away, and the mine got flooded. And of course, they had to shut it down again.
Yeah.
So they've gone into business administration. The shares were suspended. It is a sensible mine. It should revitalize itself. When and how that happens, I don't know, because it is going to need some cash to get this thing going. So we cross our fingers and we hope that shareholders can recover from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bacanora Minerals, I put this in because people seem to have forgotten about lithium for a week or two. There was a sort of rush into the lithium market earlier this summer, and the shares have drifted off a bit. These guys are working through the process of producing lithium in batch form, sending it out to lithium consumers, the guys that make the material for the batteries. I think they've got a good future ahead of them. They need to finance the full plant, and maybe that's why the stock's coming off. But if we look at the fact that their stock has come off, it now seems to be at sensible levels again.
Yeah.
Next one. I've put this in because Lundin Mining, very well-respected Canadian mining company, ran out of Switzerland. They own a project in cooperation with Freeport-McMoRan called Tenke Fungurume. That's a copper cobalt project in the Congo. London's agreed to sell its 30% stake in that project to a Chinese company for $1.14 billion. So I put this in to show that there are deals being done. The Chinese are buyers again in the market. It seems to come and go a bit. That means that the Chinese government is allowing money out of China again. That's interesting. Or maybe they're doing this just for mining. I think really with the fact that copper prices have picked up, the Chinese are saying we need to own more copper from a national perspective. So good quality stock and clearly doing very well there.
Excellent. So final slide is looking at the share price of Caledonia Mining, who we're going to be talking to very shortly. Don't go anywhere.